Welcome, everyone, into the latest edition of the Packers Podcast, brought to you by JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com, and, of course, our good friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. I am Jim Ozarski, along with my co-host, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And here we are on the eve of Week 3, the Denver Broncos, the winless Denver Broncos, coming into Lambeau Field to face the 2-0 Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, 2-0, first place. Hard to believe. I don't think a lot of people would have predicted that. I certainly didn't. But the season goes on, week after week after week, and this is a chance for them, a legitimate chance for them to go 3-0. This is a Denver Broncos team that's 0-2 and reeling after a really tough loss at home last week. Now, whether that's good or bad for the Packers, I don't know. Denver's pretty desperate for a win, so we'll see if that, you know, I don't know if that's going to make a difference on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be desperate, and their pass rush is legitimate despite having no sacks through two games.
Yeah.
But their offense, Tom, I don't know, I honestly don't know what they can do. I mean, maybe some risks can be taken, maybe some short fourth downs can be gone for, but I mean, it's Joe Flacco and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, so this is the third straight week the Packers are playing a subpar quarterback, and the Broncos would probably differ on me calling Joe Flacco subpar, but, you know, let's be realistic on this. You know, the last 2 weeks, the Packers have faced a guy who's thrown critical interception at the end of the game. I mean, when are they going to face a guy who can throw a touchdown at the end of a game? Maybe it's Flacco. I don't know. But,
no,
you know, so far.
No. I'll just go ahead and say it. That guy's in week four with Carson Wentz.
Yeah. I mean, Flacco's numbers are okay, but he hasn't stretched the field like he normally does. I mean, that's his best asset, is throwing deep. And in some ways, they're like the Packers offensively. They have a new offense. It's not that different from the Packers. They have one wide receiver that you absolutely have to account for, in Emmanuel Sanders, just like the Packers have Davante Adams. And they don't have a whole lot of else. You know, they have a running game, you know, that's solid, just like the Packers solid. I would say the biggest difference is their offensive line isn't as good as Green Bay's. Their left tackle, they're having problems at left tackle and, you know, inside as well. But left tackle being the most worrisome for them.
Yeah, Garrett Bowles, flagged four times for holds against the Bears. And, look, David Bakhtiari was flagged twice as well.
Yeah.
But Garrett Bowles has had some issues. They haven't all been accepted, but I think five holding penalties.
Five, yeah.
In 2 weeks. So that just makes you think, Mike Pettine might pressure him a little bit.
Gotta think he's going to go after him.
Yeah, know? Stress him. And look, they have gone down the mobility chart, too, from Mitch Trubisky. Kirk Cousins got himself out of some trouble, but Joe Flacco, he's not a literal statue, Tom, but, you know, he doesn't move.
No,
you know, he's a true pocket passer, and if that run game and that play action doesn't work for Denver, which it kind of hasn't, for 2 weeks, they're gonna hit him, and I don't know if he'll throw the interception late. You know, maybe that's a difference with Joe Flacco as opposed to the other guys. But what I will say, I still don't think he's the guy who's gonna throw the touchdown late. Emmanuel, that was a great 2-point conversion. It was a well-schemed play.
Really well-schemed play against Kyle Fuller.
Yeah, that's a tough corner, that's a tough defend, if you will. But look, they scored 13 points.
Yeah, they did. Against a really good defense. But here they're going to be on the road and playing against what has been a pretty good defense up to this point, and particularly in the secondary. So it's not going to be easy. You know, Flacco's going to have to be really good, I think, to beat these guys, particularly with the secondary and the pass rush.
That is true, Tom, but I don't think Joe Flacco has that anymore. And I don't think it's in the nature of NFL coaches to venture too far outside of the box. Like, this is a first-year coordinator in Denver. You're right, they're running the same kind of system. I think they're just going to try to run the ball, try to do some play action and not turn it over and let, and in their view, hope Bradley Chubb and Von Miller get on the sack board and play. Look, for entertainment purposes only in Wisconsin, I mean, you might want to bet the under again for a third straight week. I just don't see it.
That's what I think, too. One of the things when you're coming in against playing the Packers right now is you come in and you're probably saying to yourself, we don't need to score a lot of points to win.
Right.
We just need to score some and avoid, 21-point first quarters. I do wonder and think that Vic Fangio will learn a lot from what Mike Zimmer did, in the final three quarters of that game on Sunday. And he'll have, he knows Aaron Rodgers inside and out. And while Rodgers has gotten the best of him, while he was in Chicago, Fangio was really good against him in San Francisco. So, he's good at figuring out ways to slow you down, to take away your best player. But again, so getting back to the offense, I think as long as the Packers aren't giving up big, huge plays, then I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, it's and you'll hear defensive guys to a degree say stopping the run is a mentality, if you will. And I do wonder if getting a heavy dose against the Vikings, despite going up three scores, sets them up to a degree, because that's what Denver wants to do. I mean, there's really no surprise there, knowing you're going to have to be physical and obviously some discipline with play action. But I guess the question, though, is with Raven Green on IR and Will Redmond coming in, they're still a little thin. I mean, they've been thin in terms of inside linebacker or the quote-unquote strong safety who could come down and run support, and that's still the case.
Yeah, I feel like you get what you emphasize, and Mike Pettine emphasizes the blitz and not giving up anything deep. He does not want big gainers, and he gives up some run defense in exchange for that.
Yeah,
and so you are going to have, it's a perfect example of Sunday was that Dalvin Cook went off, and they still did enough to win. If Jair Alexander plays that one play against Stephon Diggs better, and it wasn't like it wasn't covered. It was covered.
Yeah.
It was really a nice job of a nice defensive scheme, and he missed it. Yeah, so it's a different game. They are set up to stop the deep ball. Now, if Minnesota had stuck with the run and maybe just continued to pound it, especially with first and goal at the 8-yard line,
right,
or 9-yard line, or whatever it was, they probably would have won this game. So I'm curious to see if Denver looks at it the same way and says, we'll just run it. Now, I think they are, I think they're positioned to be a good run defense because they're deep on the defensive line. They don't have a ton of run stoppers, but you can put, and I noticed they did this against Minnesota, they played Tyler Lancaster more than they played Montrevious Adams. They played him at end. They sometimes put him at nose with Kenny Clark at end. I think they can stop the run if they really put their minds to it. But again, that would be a change in philosophy for Patton. So we'll see what they do here. I think my guess is that they'll play it the same way they played the Vikings.
Yeah.
They'll worry about the deep ball and they'll...
Yeah, and for, I bagged on Kirk Cousins for every proper and appropriate reason last week, and he proved that again, but Joe Flacco is not Kirk Cousins even. And Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders, for as good as Sanders can be, they're not Thielen and Diggs.
No, but so, but I think Flacco can Flacco gets some opportunities, one-on-one opportunities, can get it deep, get guys with some separation. I think he can get hot. I wouldn't totally write him off. I just, if it's a clutch situation, I'm not sure that I would put all my money on him.
Yeah. Which, you know, as you mentioned, Fangio and what he's learned from Zimmer and how he can manipulate his defense, let's flip it there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet if Matt LaFleur is at a point where he's truly in the fencing game with some of these coordinators. I think, you know, he's only called 18 games in his career mm-hmm. as a play caller. Obviously, Tennessee was much different than what he has here in Green Bay. And you hear the Packers players basically say, it's what you wrote about Sunday, the Vikings made adjustments, and we didn't quite handle that. I mean, they've couched it however way they couch it, but that's basically what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
At best, they would have got another 6 points without the turnover on downs and without Allison's fumble.
Right, right.
Which, you know, that makes a difference. They did get down there. I'm curious to see after the script, which, okay, if they can run out three scores,
yeah,
all, more power to them. But I am curious to see if Matt LaFleur continues to grow, I guess, as the answers come. Because I don't know if we've seen that the last 2 weeks.
And the other, I've had some time to think about what happened on Sunday and Zimmer's adjustments. And they weren't huge.
No.
I think he just played more zone, played too deep coverage, decided, I'm not going to let Davante Adams get open anymore. I'm not going to have bad matchups with Geronimo Allison on my 17th string slot corner. And so there was always an answer. Now, when they do that, you either have to pound the ball, run the ball, which they did, but then you've got to have guys who can take the ball and do something with it. You know, you have to have guys who can take a slant and bust it, or take an underneath crossing route, you know, and turn it into a first down on 3rd and 10.
You mean a fast guy like Trevor Davis catch and run?
Wait a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. But it was all that's where my thought for my column on Tuesday came, which is I kept watching and I'm waiting for someone to just bust out other than Davante Adams. And there were opportunities, and I didn't see anybody really look like they could function, they could make Matt LaFleur's offense really dangerous. And the way you do that is, okay, if they're going to play you way back, you throw it underneath and those guys run for first downs. And they couldn't do that.
And isn't that a staple of Fangio's defenses, too, is more of like that umbrella zone
in
the back end.
And,
so, I mean,
and just rally to the ball. Now, when he's had really good linebackers, right. You know, San Francisco, that was – he didn't have to blitz much, you know. Go ahead, throw it underneath, and we'll have Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman come and crush you. I think even in Chicago it was like that to some degree. With Trevathan and then
Davante Adams remembers those rally to the ball on those slants.
He
might not remember it, but he knows it happened. So,
that's what I think will happen. He's going to say to them, you know, prove to me that you can beat me with all this other scheming stuff. You know,
which you know again is interesting. I mean, the Packers trade, you know, at this point it's not official as we record this, Trevor Davis to Oakland for a 6th-round pick.
But it's all but official.
All but official. So that leaves now 2 draft picks in the receiver room, in Davante Adams and Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right.
I know we mentioned it post-game against Minnesota, Tom, but
yeah.
Now you truly are. I mean, now it's a bunch of UDFAs. And even if they call up a guy, you know, Malik Taylor from the practice squad or whatever it is they're doing there. Jimmy Graham hasn't been great. Now he's got a groin injury. You just kind of wonder, are we going to see more of the Williams and Aaron Jones backfield to get those two guys on the field together? I mean,
get the ball in Aaron Jones' hands more, but there's also that risk of you don't want to overwork him because you don't want him to get hurt. You know, if he gets hurt, you got you are in serious trouble offensively, because he's your alternative to Davante Adams in terms of being a big play guy. They don't have anybody else like that. I think they're really hurting. I think it's becoming really clear that they don't have the firepower to be really good in this offense this year.
So I'm gonna bring up two names, and I understand that who I'm talking about
yeah.
here, but they're guys we haven't seen yet, and that would yep. be Robert Tonyan at tight end, that would be Danny Vitale at fullback. I understand who they are, and these aren't guys who are going to come in week three and you know, set the world on fire. However, what they are athletic guys, younger mm-hmm. guys who can run. And so I'm just wondering if, you know, the trade of Davis, however that flushes out the receiver room, I don't know at this point, because he was the fourth guy rotating in. But if Graham's hurt, I mean, those are guys who, if you get him on a linebacker, can actually run away from somebody.
Yeah, you know, and this brings the point to me that they've totally overestimated Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
So, you know, I watched a little bit more of the game a little closer and watched Graham, and he just can't separate. He cannot separate from anybody anymore. And so, you know, there was a key third down, I remember, where Rodgers had him in his sights the whole way. I mean, it was, to me, it looked like he wanted him the whole way. And he's waiting and waiting for the release. And I think it was Kendricks, was a middle linebacker, was covering him, and he could not separate from him. It was like an out route, or a deep out route. And at some point, you have to say to yourself, okay, how much are we going to get out of this? And when do we just go athletic? You know, when do we just say, okay, Robert Tonyan may run the wrong route, or you may not block as well, but get him on the field and see what he can do in the passing game. And Vitale, I think the same thing. And maybe Darius Shepherd at some point. You have to start working on that. But are those guys going to turn the scales in the favor of the Packers? I don't know.
We'll see. The Graham thing is interesting, because for as calculating as Brian Gutekunst has been with this roster, mm-hmm. Whether it be shipping off former draft picks of recent vintage, he insisted all through the offseason, us, Tom, about, you know, Jimmy's a better blocker than we think. Just go watch the film. Mm-hmm. And I think Jim, and we've talked about this, Jimmy's been willing. I mean, he did have some decent blocks against the Vikings, obviously, we know about.
Some good run blocks.
Yeah, some good run blocks. Obviously, we know the poor matchup with Danielle Hunter. That's not his fault there. I think that's just
But he had some other bad run blocks,
too.
He's working with one hand, so
add that into it. So I think that this is one where I don't know what Brian Gutekunst saw, you know, when he made the last-ditch effort to get Mercedes Lewis back and keep him from retiring, I guess.
I don't know either.
You know,
Mercedes Lewis is a great guy. I mean, great locker room guy. And I still think he has a place on the team. But if you are going to count on him to be a 45 to 50 catch guy with an 11-yard average, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, and I know 2 years ago he had a great red zone year. You know, I think he had like 8 touchdowns or something like that. But I don't know. And it brings me to the other part of my column from Tuesday, was Gutekunst has to keep his eyes out for somebody who's available. I mean, there's going to be guys. The NFL's turning into more of a trading league now.
Yeah.
You're seeing way more trades. And, you know, last year at this time, at the trade deadline, there were all kinds of receiver deals that got done. Amari Cooper got traded. Demaryius Thomas got traded. Golden Tate got traded. Yeah. So some teams are going to be out of it, and they're just going to say, let's gain some salary cap room and move on from a guy. You know, the one guy, the most obvious, but you would know the most about this, is A.J. Green from Cincinnati. But he's such a pillar of that organization. Do you think they would ever part with him?
I would be surprised. And that's largely to do with ownership as opposed to Duke Tobin. They're kind of – he doesn't have the GM title there. Like, they had 15,000 no-shows on their home opener, Tom. Jeez. And wow. Unlike Green Bay and maybe some other markets, I mean, the ticket sales matter to the Brown family, and that I don't know if they could handle that on the PR level. Because A.J. Green has been the guy for 7-8 years. And I mean, look, anything's possible. I mean, he's going to be a free agent. He's 30. He's hurt
making
right
11.9 million.
So, I mean, there's
he's hurt, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some ramifications there in terms of if Brian Gutekunst wanted to trade for him.
But, you know, what if you were able to get him for a fourth and a sixth? And you take his salary on?
Yeah.
For the Bengals, you know, I mean, they do still have a good receiving core.
They do.
Ross is having a pretty
good year.
Yeah,
he's coming back, yeah.
And Tyler Boyd's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be able to re-sign Green after the year, are they?
Well, it's funny. I think A.J. finally met the media. He's rehab. He's out of the walking boot. I mean, he talked about re-signing there.
He did.
You know, so, you know, the Bengals typically do those things before March.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, though, the fact that they didn't extend him going into the year kind of says something. They wanted Tyler Boyd done.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in that weird area there where Dalton's 31, A.J. Green's 30. What's their identity? Where are they going? So I don't think that's a real rumor right now, Tom.
Right.
But to your point, though, in a few weeks,
right,
when he's healthy and maybe teams can look,
and maybe the Bengals are 1-6,
right,
or something,
and
like that,
and they realize, hey, this is just what needs to be done because nobody's coming to the games anyway,
mm-hmm.
right? And it from the Packers' point of view, I mean, A.J. Green, it would be a new offense, but he at least did run Zach Taylor's scheme. It's basically the same mm-hmm. deal, I would imagine. And look, he's so good that I think if you were to have him on the other side of Davante Adams for six games, eight games, whatever, it would work. But no, I am curious to see if he's that aggressive, because that would be a heck of that type of move, as opposed to, say, you know, Devontae Parker.
Right.
Out of Miami, or an Albert Wilson, not a, like, kind of that, you know, second and third guy, but a guy who has done more in his career than the whole list of guys currently here.
Yeah, well, the thing with A.J. Green is you'd bring him in, and he doesn't have to be the guy. The pressure isn't there, even though he's been the guy. But he's also so good, been so good, that how would you defend Davante Adams and A.J. Green? It would be really difficult. Health is a question, and the fact that his contract expires. So it would be a rent-a-player deal.
Right.
And for a rent-a-player deal, you'd have to, if you're the Packers, you're not going to give up a first-round pick. You're not going to give up a second-round pick. But if you're serious about winning this year, I think you got to think about it. And there may be guys that we're not even aware of who are on the block or who will be on the block in 3 weeks. This is just one that's we can speculate in fantasy football type talk. But it's the type of guy that they got to look for. A Golden Tate would have been perfect for them. If he'd have been available last year at this time, or this year at this time, he'd be perfect. You know, the kind of guy who could take some pressure off of Davante Adams.
So, which is funny now, though, because I'm sure there's some Packers fans screaming, well, Randall Cobb went away.
Yeah.
But
he's having a pretty good year.
I guess that's the thing. It's like, you know, in this offense, they clearly felt that Geronimo Allison was the better option as a slot receiver, and I think they thought they could move it around too, where Adams can move inside, and they wanted that flexibility where maybe, you know, Randall Cobb couldn't be out split out by himself way out. I don't know. It was interesting how they.
Well, they were cognizant of Cobb's injuries.
Yeah.
And he still hasn't made it through the whole year. So let's reserve our judgment there. He's also playing on a team that is completely surrounded or completely based on the runner,
right.
Running back. So, I mean, there is so little pressure on him in that offense as opposed to all the pressure there was on him here. They also weren't going to give him $10 million. He was making $10 million, and that's, you know, how would that negotiation have gone? I don't remember what Dallas gave him.
It was like a 1 year, five. I mean, it was kind of.
Yeah, would he have taken that to come back here? I don't know.
Yeah, and it sounds like the Packers were ready to move on to give, at the time, Valdez Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jamon Moore, those reps to figure out.
I just didn't have a problem with it at the time. I really didn't.
So it's just, it is interesting to see what happens going forward, right? And how, and look, those things could be in the works. Brian Gutekunst might be thinking about it, talking about it, but as of this week, even if they were to swing something, you know, between now and Sunday, that's not going to affect the Broncos game.
No.
And obviously not Philadelphia. So Matt LaFleur is going to have to make do with what's here, and I am curious to see again, how does he adjust and again create more big plays for his guys? Because that's, we talked about this. He was the addition to this offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that has to make this happen.
Yeah,
schematically or whatever. I know the quarterback has a big part of it too, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it's putting Valdez Scantling in different spots to give him a chance to catch and run, as opposed to maybe just the occasional deep shot.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, at some point, they got to get Dexter Williams involved because he's got big playability. They just don't have enough guys on the field with big playability. And now it might be, it's hard because he could hardly, remember which direction to go sometimes. But they should be working hard on that to try to get him available. Him and Aaron Jones in the same backfield would be really interesting because both can split out and be receivers. And, you know, at some point you have to explore that kind of stuff.
And I think that's what this system is designed for to a degree, Tom. I've been saying it where, you know, after Adams, receivers 2 through 5 or 2 through 6 are all meant to be jumbled up in the 30 to 45 catch range. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the old days of Nelson catches 90 and, you know, Cobb catches 85. Like, so it's just they need that little bit, right? And it's how can Matt LaFleur do that? And obviously Sunday against Denver, Vic Fangio's not going to make that very easy with his group. I did want to flip it back to the defensive side real quick here.
Yep.
What did you make? So you tweeted this out when you were talking to Jair Alexander this week with one of his great quote of now he unlike a year ago, he will now acknowledge when he's beat, credits his yoga and, you know, namaste, right? But defense is interesting to me in this way, where attitude and confidence can really go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And they are they are bursting with that.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm just sort of curious, are they, I don't want to say getting ahead of themselves, but is it trending in the right way, or did it go over the top where there you might see some risks being taken that they shouldn't take because they think it's going too well? Like, what is your vibe on this confidence that's going on, especially on the back end?
Real good question. I like the fact that they went into that game and they said, we don't care that it's Thielen and Diggs. We're going to shut them down. In fact, we're glad that it's Thielen and Diggs. We're going to shut these guys down. And they did.
Yeah.
You know, except for the one Diggs pass. How many catches did they have together?
It was not many. Like
three? Yeah. Or I'd have to go back and look. They had Thielen had 5 for 75, and Diggs had 1 for 49. So yeah. Between them, they had 6 catches for 124 yards. That's a lot of yardage. But I like the fact that they went out and challenged them, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think where you get into a problem is if you're taking too many chances. If all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm going to just jump every route, you know? And I think Alexander, I think, is a good enough player. He was asked, okay, so what's, you know, they've seen you this past week against Diggs and what you did to him, holding him to one catch. What's the next thing you're going to see? And he was like, well, now they're going to throw double moves on me, so I have to be ready for that. And I thought that was really intelligent. And if he's serious about it, that's a football player thinking, okay, yeah, I played tight up on Diggs the whole time. Maybe I do that again, and this time I worry about the double move. So I think those two guys are staples. Him and King are staples of this defense. And as Savage gets better, I think he's going to be a staple as well. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a confident group. And look, they're young enough now where if they make a mistake, they're fast enough that they can catch up,
yeah.
You know, to a degree. You know, and Emmanuel Sanders, you're talking about double moves. I you know, haven't been in the AFC for a few years before this time. Emmanuel Sanders is one of the slickest route runners, and yeah. He does have a double move that is really good, that has gotten some really good corners to kind of break down.
Which is insane considering he's had, what, ankle and Achilles? Or
yeah.
Achilles and knee or something like that in the last year?
Yeah. He's
wow.
And, you know, to get 14 targets, whatever it was last week against Chicago, against obviously a good secondary. So that'll be, you know, I think Joe Flacco is a Turkey Bowl quarterback at this point in his career. And what that means for those who may not follow me on Twitter, you want him playing all-time quarterback for your Thanksgiving Day game. I don't know about winning a National Football League game. So,
he's going to come back and make you pay for those comments.
Yeah.
They're going to be on the wall right down the hall here by the visitors' locker room. Jimo Sarsky, he's a Turkey Day quarterback. Flacco throws for 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, that
shocked Packers defense.
I will eat that crow Sunday night on this podcast, Tom, if we have to do it. What I will say this is Brock Osweiler never made me eat that statement when he went to Houston.
That's for sure. Yeah, now that one you could stand by.
Yeah, so so we will see. We will see if there's any moves, you know, in the next week or so.
Stay tuned to our site because I still think something's coming up.
Yeah, it feels like it, right? So as Tom said, subscribe, jsonline.com, packersnews.com, download the apps, turn on the notifications. We will buzz you in the pocket. If you're on a certain age, we're going to hit you on your hip. Be sure to check us out. Myself, Tom, Ryan Wood, Pete Doherty, Olivia Reiner, have you totally covered. So we will see you this weekend.
Yeah.
After...
Thanks again to Potawatomi Hotel and Casino for sponsoring us, and we really appreciate their sponsorship.
Yeah, definitely. Head over there. Have a good time. Tell them Tom sent you.
Yeah.
They might give you something.
Yeah, I'm a five-star contributor to their section, you know, to their additions, you know.
So thank you guys very much for joining us this week again. We will talk to you in a few days. For Tom, I am Jim. Have a good one.